there's been a, like a big change on the UI. A lot of big changes, but let's jump through some of the ones that happened this past Friday. So, you know, in case you missed it, every Friday we do a UI update. That's our new dev schedule. We've been doing that, I think, it's been almost exactly a month since we started doing that. So every Friday now there is a new release on the UI, and sometimes it's small stuff, sometimes it's big stuff. We're always kind of, you know, multiple devs on multiple fronts, always kind of working on stuff. And then, you know, we save them up for each Friday and then start releasing them. So last Friday we released a huge update that had a lot of different features in it.
Huge update.
One of the biggest things, and this was a complaint that I saw kind of widespread on threads. This wasn't planned, but we, you know, it was such a big problem that we had to kind of reprioritize and make it happen. We added a little toggle. There's actually two new toggles at the top, but one of them is to hide threads, including links. So threads kind of became, and this is kind of a larger issue, I think, on Hive, where people are just kind of out to, you know, post promotion and self promote. And, you know, we used to have, like, for example, on Leo Discord, we used to have a Discord channel within our server that was for post promotion. And most Hive Discords have that. And what ends up happening is everyone just jumps in and just literally pastes the link to their articles, right? Because at the end of the day, the Hive culture has been built around self-promotion to get more upvotes on your content, like upvote for upvote, upvote bots, however you want to look at it. There's been multiple iterations around this whole, you know, get more upvotes on my content, because that's what you're financially incentivized to do on Hive, is just, you know, do whatever you can to get more upvotes. So there's kind of been this huge thing on Twitter and then obviously on threads where people basically just go there just to link drop on their latest post and then they leave. And that's obviously, you know, their goal is just to get more upvotes on whatever they're link dropping, which is, you know, their own posts. But obviously especially for a platform like threads, like on Twitter, it just gets lost in the noise and it doesn't really matter. But on threads, you know, it's still so new and there's still so few users that if you get, you know, let's say that there's, you know, I think there's roughly 200 daily active users and about 1,000 monthly active users. So let's say out of the 200 people every day, 100 of them are just link dropping and leaving. That's going to make the feed basically just blow up with all sorts of links and, you know, shit that nobody really is engaging with. And what I noticed is a lot of the people who were link dropping were literally just, if you look through their threads, they would just show up on threads at pretty much the same exact time every day, drop the link to their latest post and then leave. And they never replied to anybody. Even if people replied to them, you know, that's not very good for engagement, and it's not good for the feeds because it basically just populates the feeds with a bunch of people who aren't really there. So, and actually a lot of UIs on Hive have contacted us and said they want to be able to post. They basically want to be able to, like, when someone posts an article, it automatically posts their link onto threads. So that's just this whole Hive culture around, like, let me get my link out everywhere, but not Wait, actually.
So they engaged. they want like kind of like what, you know, like this, those Discord channels that are designed for that, where like you post something and it automatically, like, you know, gets
populates,
pops up in that Discord. They want that to happen on threads.
Exactly.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. So we need
hell
to
yeah. No.
It's nice because they think it's nice because we're getting more threads, which is true. We are getting more numbers, but those are not engaged people. They're not, when those threads get posted, they're not going to get replied to. That, like, defeats the whole purpose of threads, which is all surrounded around, you know, get more engagement, create like a real-time engagement channel, kind of like a mixture of Discord, Twitter, and the best of what Hive has to offer in terms of users. But the Hive culture is really centered around, how do I get more upvotes? That's what everyone is financially incentivized to do. It's going to take a lot to change that link dropping culture. But one of the big things that we've done is now you have that toggle at the top where you can hide threads, including links. And it has, like, completely changed the feed on threads. So, like, if you can obviously flip it on and off. That's why we put it where it is, because it's easy to, you know, flip on and off. But if you have it on and you're not seeing threads with links, it has, like, cleaned up the feed so much. And now you don't see all that spam. And it's kind of like pulled back the curtain and revealed who is actually active on threads and who's actually, like, being engaging and posting real shit, not just links.
Wait a second. If I'm on the threads homepage right now, I'm seeing, what are the things I'm seeing? Like,
so you're, so at the top, do you see two like toggles that say one click votes and hide threads, including links?
Yeah. One click votes and hide threads, including links. Oh yeah. Look at that.
So do you have them on or off?
I have them off right now.
So turn them both on. You turn them both on and then you might have to refresh the page. Probably. I don't know if it'll auto. Sense.
Interesting.
So when you have hide threads with links on, it will no longer show. If anyone posts a thread with a link, it won't show it.
Yeah. I mean, most links I don't want to see, but there's occasionally links I do want to see.
Right.
Like, you know, like Taskmaster did a thread, come and join the Cryptomania conversation and drop the Threadstorm link. So like he dropped the threads link in a thread. So that would be an instance where I'd want to see it. But more often than not, I probably don't want to see a bunch of links. That's a nice feature to have. And then that one click auto vote, that's interesting. I'm too generous. Apparently I vote threads at like 25%, but I also don't vote a ton of threads. So I like that one click.
Yeah. So Nanzo said, I'm glad you guys created the toggle to filter links and tackling link spamming. My timeline looks saner now. Yeah. It's really cleaned up the timeline. I mean, it's made it actually fun and more interesting to scroll through the feed and make your way through it and see people who are actually like live and engaged, which is not a whole lot of people. So it goes to show we need a lot more engaged users on threads, not just people who are coming in and link dropping. Like you were saying, there are still some links you want to see. So you may have to toggle on and off sometimes. There's a lot of longer term solutions that I have in mind. This was kind of just a blunt way to say, you know, like we have a huge problem right now. We need to just bluntly take care of it quickly. So this was the solution for that. In the future, probably pretty near term, it's not going to be like super far off. One of the next steps I have in mind is to where in the settings page, you can whitelist certain users who you don't mind seeing links from. We can have either a global whitelist or we can have, you know, user-based, like, you know, Mitch is on the UI and he's like, okay, I like seeing Taskmaster's links and a Nomad Souls links and Cow's links. So I'm going to whitelist those three people and then everyone else's links won't show. So only links from those three people will show. No one else who's posting links will show when I have that toggled on. So there's a lot of customization that we can do on that front. We can also have a global whitelist where like people like Taskmaster and others are known to be engaging on the UI. So it's, you know, we can allow them to have links go through with that toggle on. Another idea I have, which I think is like probably my best idea, is to have some sort of verification check mark. Like, you know, that's been happening now on all Web2 platforms. So you got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and stuff. They're all doing this like pay $10 a month and get verified. But I have a feeling we can do something a lot more interesting with Leo power verification. So like if you have over a certain amount of Leo power, you can have a verification check mark on the UI. And if you have the verification check mark, then you can have your links go through when that toggle is on. So I have a lot of different ideas for how to tackle this whole link spamming thing. A lot of it comes down to, you know, we have to change the whole culture of like engagement on Hive. It's not just about getting people to upvote your posts. It's going to be a long and tough battle, but I think it'll have a good long-term impact. But
the toggle feature engagement. That toggle feature is a huge step because, I mean, it gives people control. They can just shut it off and just be like, I don't want to see links off. You know, as you've seen with Twitter, the whole verified and checkmark stuff sounds great on paper, but seems to be a hot mess all the time. There's always people gaming it or whatever it is. So I like that in the end, I have a toggle switch where I can just basically shut it off. No links. But yeah, seeing being able to whitelist is pretty cool. Like if I basically, because like, honestly, I don't want to see links, but someone, like you said, like Taskmaster, like generally he shares links that I'm interested in. So like I can whitelist him, you know,
right,
and whoever else. That's pretty cool. And here is the most important part about all of that. That all the features and all the bells and whistles are awesome. And it makes it, you know, a more catered user experience, which people appreciate, especially in this me society. But in the end, the UI performance has to, you know, be up to snuff and just functional. So it doesn't matter how many features we have. In the end, the importance is that I can go to the UI, I can do things, and it works.
I mean, the whole point of threads and like you know, the kind of bigger, broader vision, if you take a step back with everything that we've been doing, is creating both a modular experience and like a highly engaging and different experience than has existed on Hive up until now. You know, there's a very singular experience that's been available from Hive for the last, you know, 6 years. The whole point of the new UI is to completely change that. You know, I think it's gonna be a learning curve for everybody. At the end of the day, if you're engaging, if you're replying, if you're upvoting people and just being like a good community member, like you're gonna get rewarded, and you're gonna find the experience to be rewarding in and of itself. But then also, you know, the whole idea is, you know, get Leo tokens to start flowing into Threads a lot more over time. And I have been noticing that a lot more people are upvoting actively on Threads. Yeah, just a whole scale culture shift, I think. And then the one-click voting, I saw a lot of different questions about that. So we added the hide links toggle. We also added one-click voting toggle at the top. So if you have that enabled, it's really cool. It basically turns the upvote button into the same thing as the like button on Twitter. So what it does is you only have to click it once. So you click the little heart once, instead of you click it and then it opens a vote slider and then you got to click it again. If you have it enabled, you just click the heart and then it upvotes automatically. And right now it's just globally set to 5%. And I know I saw Mitch jump in and ask, will we be able to personalize that one click vote? Maybe being able to set it at 20% for those with low Leo power. We haven't released the settings page yet, but when we do, there's going to be a lot of different, like I said, the whole idea here is a modular experience and giving users as much capability as we can to customize and, you know, make the experience their own. And one of those settings is going to be to change that one click vote setting. So you'll be able to say, you know, if you want it at 100%, or you want it at 90%, or 70%, or 20%, or 5%, or 1%, you'll be able to do all of that from the settings page. And then the one click vote will be the same every time. I think the settings page will be live by this Friday, just in time for the May 1st release of the UI into production. So that's my little segue too. So the UI is going into production on May 1st. We've committed to that date. And there's a whole, like I've been saying this on AMAs, but there's a list of features that I basically created for, you know, what needs to be live for the production UI. Like I said, I think at least 80% of that list is going to be done. There might be a few things missing by May 1st, but I just wanted to commit to the May 1st date because, you know, I don't want to drag this out in terms of going from alpha to production, because we could drag it out till December if we wanted to, because there's just so many different things that we want to do with the UI. But, you know, instead of dragging it out, we want to get the UI into production, get the Zeely campaign live, and really start pushing for more monthly active users. You know, and Eric and I were even talking about raising the 5,000 monthly active user goal, but we're going to keep it and hopefully, you know, crush it really early, and September, August rolls around and we're already at 5,000 monthly active users. That'll be great. So we're going to keep the 5,000 monthly active users goal. And then, you know, if we hit it early, we'll start to recalibrate some stuff and say, you know, we're doing a really amazing job and knocking it out of the park. And from there, you know, we can recalibrate. But the goal is, you know, our big picture goal is 5,000 monthly active users by December. And I think we're well on our way to doing that. And the Zeely campaign goes live on April 30th. So a day before the UI goes into production, the Zeely campaign will go live. I know a lot of people already know about that. Something that Eric came up with, which I think is a really cool idea, is he created things called like side quests, basically. So it's almost like classes in a video game, where like if you were, you could pick from like four different classes in a video game, and then you could go down like kind of a specific type of path that's separate from all the other classes. So Eric came up with this idea to do kind of the same thing, but through the Zeely campaign to promote the UI. So like, if you're more like inclined to be like an artist, there's like an artist path that you can go down, and you can like, your Zeely quests will be more related to creating artwork and stuff like that. And then, you know, if you're more of a writer, then there's like a writer path that you can go down, and your quests will be more tailored towards writing. And then he also created the idea to have like final bosses at the end of those paths. So that like, let's say that you're not going to win the entire Zeely campaign, which has all the big prizes, like, you know, $10,000, and there's 200,000 Hive power delegation up for grabs. let's say that you're like, you're not, you may not win that, right? Like you're not gaining enough XP to win that, the big prizes. You can still win sub prizes within the class that you've chosen. So I think that's a really cool idea that, like, you know, if like you're obviously working hard to try to win the big prize, but in so doing that, you can also work towards a like a separate like side prize just for your class. So like, let's say it's kind of like if you were to think about like a wrestling competition or something, like you can win, you know, in your weight class, and then you can win like an overall weight class. So, you know, if you win like that, you know, your own weight class, like let's say that you're doing the writing, you know, side quests, you could win just the writing, you know, final boss prize, but maybe you won't win the big prize, or maybe you'll win both. Like there's, I think there's like a lot of really cool, like customization that he's put into that. It's basically like this whole video game that he's created. And it's all centered around doing quests that are promoting Leo Finance and helping us get more monthly active users. So I think that's, it's super cool. And if you're not on the Zealy campaign yet, you can already get started with it. And I think one of the first quests is to invite one other person to the Zealy campaign. So if you're not on it yet, go join the Zealy campaign, and then you can invite your first person and kind of start on the journey. And then on April 30th, it'll go like fully live.
Yes. And I'm going to drop a invite link to the Discord channel in the recap post.
Nice. Yeah, and Eric wanted me to mention that we were working with They Call Me Dan, and he has graciously provided an extra prize pool to the $10,000 that's up for grabs. So there's a total, I think he's doing 100,000 hive power, and then we're doing another 100,000 to match it. So there's, so in addition to the $10,000 prize pool that is available through the Zealy campaign, we're adding in now a 200,000 hive power delegation. So not one delegation, but I think it'll be split up a little bit. But that's up for grabs too. So we're just adding to that prize pool, and it's very possible that that prize pool will get added to in other ways as well. So it's definitely worth your while to be in the Zealy campaign and be active. Nanzo wants to see a feature where when you start writing at someone, it'll fill it in with suggestions. That is definitely possible. We actually have that already with the search feature, so we could just, that'd probably be pretty easy to add into threads directly. So I will bookmark that thread.
Nice little perk.
100%. And another feature that I kind of skipped over, but this one's really cool. When you hover over, it was Eric's idea and the dev's idea. The dev just kind of snuck it in with the update. And then Eric came up with all the images and everything and the roles. So these roles actually match Discord, the Discord roles for Leo Power Holdings, but the UI obviously does it all automatically. It can see your current Leo Power and then calculate it. One thing that we need to fix on this is that it's not showing delegated Leo, like it's not factoring in if you have delegated Leo, but it will soon in the Sooniverse. But if you are on desktop and you hover over anyone's username, on threads, it'll actually show you, like, it'll show you their profile picture, their username, it'll show you their bio, and then below that, it'll show you their role in the community, and their role is based on how much Leo power they have. So, like, I shared a screenshot. If you hover over Eric on the UI, it'll show you that he's got 90,000 Leo power, which I know he actually has more, but like I said, the delegations aren't factored in yet. But it'll show you how much Leo power he has. And since he has 90,000, it shows you his role, which is leader of the pack. Obviously, if it had delegations factored in, I think, you know, he's got well over 100,000 Leo power. So it'll be Apex Lion, which is the highest role. But I think this is really cool. And it like goes, it's basically version one in a longer journey that we have in mind for gamifying the Leo UI. So a lot of the future features of the Leo UI, you know, are things that I keep talking about, which is like deepening that engagement and making the experience like really supercharging the experience and giving something that I think should have been on Hive this whole time, but hasn't been, you know, for a lot of different reasons. You know, one big one is just the technology. Like the technology for threads has taken us so long to build. This whole roles thing is like really V1 in like this longer idea of gamification. So we're going to be adding a lot of different gamification features. And a big one that we've talked about is like NFTs and having NFTs on the UI and allowing NFTs to give you more access to certain features that people without those NFTs don't have. In addition to that, things like Leo Power giving you more access to other features along the same lines. So like I was just talking about the filtering out links and then giving people a verification check mark if they're over a certain amount of Leo Power. So think about how like Twitter and Facebook have gone this route of like charging people $8 a month to verify themselves as a human on, you know, Twitter. That's web two, right? Like they're lagging behind in so many different ways in terms of like verification and, you know, unique accounts and immutability. They don't have access to a lot of the tech that a web three platform has access to. So the fact that we're built on Hive means that we all have wallets, right? And you have an amount of Leo Power, and the whole kind of Leoverse is centered around Leo Power and you know, staking Leo and gaining more access and utility within the community. Because of this, all these connections kind of converging, you could see a lot of features getting added. Like I was saying about the links where you get like verified. If you have, let's say if you have over 10,000 Leo Power, you get verified on Leo Finance. And that means that your links actually can go through. But if you're not verified, then your links maybe get posted, but they won't get shown in the feeds unless someone looks specifically for you. You know, if you want your links to show up in the feed, you got to buy 10,000 Leo Power and stake it. There's a lot of really cool ideas I have in mind for that. And I think we're just kind of on the verge of releasing all that stuff. And like I said, this hover over feature is just kind of like a little teaser into what we're planning with all this stuff. And Time Travelers asked, any option to have the opportunity to store and display NFTs on the Leo wallet? So that's kind of leading into like all of these ideas is we're going to have NFTs on the UI, and we're going to have a lot of gamification features where like when you make your 1000th thread, you get an NFT that says you've made 1000 threads, and that NFT gets added to your wallet. And then on the UI, for example, you can choose like 3 NFT badges that you want to display next to your name. And maybe you choose that one as one of your NFT badges, or maybe you choose another one where it's like you've earned, you know, 100,000 Leo from all of your posts and threads. And then you display that badge. Or, you know, we ran a LPUD competition, I think back in like November, where you could like slay the dragon and get a dragon NFT. So anyone who did that back in November could get a dragon NFT. And then that NFT, they can choose as one of their 3 badges to display next to their name on threads. And now, you know, when you see them thread, you immediately know, oh, they have the dragon NFT. So they're kind of like an OG. So there's all sorts of like really cool gamification features that we're launching on the UI, you know, to take that step back again and say, what's, you know, the broader vision here? What is the point of all of this? Is that we're creating like the ultimate integrated Web3 experience, you know, with all sorts of features of gamification, NFTs, Leo Power, and it's all centered around, you know, staking Leo and having Leo and having a role in the community and being active and engaging. And I just think it's really like this step forward toward the long-term vision that I've had for Leo Finance, you know, since the beginning, which is, you know, Leo is not just a holding company. You know, I wrote an article like 2 years ago about that, but Leo is really like the utility center of this Web3 experience. There's just so many ideas that we have as a team to like make that a reality. You know, another one just because I wanted to share this, but another one is like, we've talked about adding the Substack features, which I'm really excited about, where you can launch, like say that Mitch wants to launch a paid newsletter, and you can pay like $5 a month in Leo to Mitch. And in exchange, you get like access to like a private channel, of like his newsletters, exactly how Substack works. For example, yes. We could make that pay the cat. For example, we could make that so you can only launch a newsletter once you have 10,000 Leo Power staked. So if you know, you have to reach that role in order to unlock that feature. So there's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, just imagine a future, and this is, you know, where we're headed. Imagine a future where there's hundreds of features on the UI that you can only access when you reach a certain amount of Leo Power and have that certain role in the community.
I definitely like that, having that threshold, you know, yeah. If you want to do something like that where you have, you know, paid for content, so to speak, but in order to have that ability, you know, you need to hold at least 10,000 Leo Power.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's going to be all sorts of things, or maybe like we have all sorts of features in mind. Like one is to have like pinned threads So maybe if you have over 100,000 Leo power, which makes you an Apex Lion, maybe once a month you can have one of your threads get pinned. It's 150. So if you're over 150,000 Leo power, you're an Apex Lion. And if you're an Apex Lion, you can have one of your threads get pinned, you know, say once a month or something. There's like, I mean, I've got hundreds of these written down, all sorts of features. And this leads me into one of the bullet points that Eric gave me to cover. We have all these ideas for, you know, roles, both on the Leo UI and in Discord, but we want to hear from all of you guys with more suggestions. Like, you know, if you're an Apex Lion, or if you're a leader of the pack, or if you're a lion or a cub, what are some features that we could give to these roles that you guys would get excited about? And if you have any, drop them either in Discord or on the Threadcast. On the Threadcast is probably the best. Put it on chain. But yeah, we have all these ideas for ranks and, you know, achievements and stuff. So if you have any ideas of things that you'd like to see, of features, of, you know, anything really, just drop ideas and we'll start collecting them. Another big point is, you know, we talked about how we had that like private meeting with a couple of us, Nifty, Mitch, me, Eric, and Taskmaster a few weeks ago. And we were talking about, you know, one of our big things that we talked about is like, what's the point of people having Leo? What's the utility of having Leo power? And what purpose can we give to all of this stuff? Yeah, there's ad revenue. There's all these other things, all these like financial metrics. But I think a big one is, how can we create like community leverage and like attention leverage and basically like pride in having Leo power? Like, how do you create something that's a little bit more intangible than like just a financial metric, where like if you have 100,000 Leo power, you're making, you know, 15% APR, 25% APR. Like, yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, we're going to have that too. But I think that there's like, why do people own a Rolex? Why do people want to drive a nice car? You know, why do people want a big house? Like, there's a lot of like societal incentivization that happens in the real world. And how can we kind of drive that into Leo power and, you know, really turn the community and the, you know, the Leo Finance like Web3 platform into like a lot more of a, basically like a lot more of like its own society, with its own rules, with its own, you know, reasons to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, reasons to have Leo power, reasons to have power within the community, and influence within the community. So this is all like a very circular ecosystem. And I think a lot of those ideas have kind of started to seep through. And like I said, roles are just like V1, which I think is what makes it so exciting, is just to see that that is even coming. And yeah, I'm just excited about what the future holds for Leo power.
Indeed. Crypto in general obviously affects what happens with you know, Leo to an extent. Apparently Coinbase is flipping the script and suing the SEC.
Yep, they are. So you know, I think a lot of us talked about that SEC meeting, that are not meeting, the hearing that with Gary Gensler, where people were basically grilling Gensler about the SEC and, you know, the actions that he's taken, and basically questioning him and questioning his ability to do his job. Because, you know, his job is not to just crack down on everything. Like, his job is to protect investors. His job is to create a fair environment for competition. His job is not to stifle innovation and cause a mass exodus out of the US for companies like Coinbase and others. That's not his job description, but that's the position he's taken. He has basically created a, you know, and this is like a driving point, he's created a very uncertain environment for companies like Coinbase. You know, Coinbase went through all of the steps. They went through all the procedures to become a publicly traded company, you know, to have all of the licenses that they needed. You know, they've been around for a really long time. They've been based in the US. They've had connections with regulators. And then suddenly you get this guy, Gary Gensler, coming in. And now, you know, regulatory frameworks are completely uncertain. He's calling Coinbase out for so many different things. They're getting Wells notices. He can't even answer if he thinks Ethereum is a security or not, when directly asked about it. He's created such an uncertain environment where a company that has gone through, this is not like FTX, which was based out of the Bahamas, or, you know, Binance, which is, you know, has like their US branch, but they're really, you know, based internationally. it's not like that type of situation. This is a publicly traded company, Coinbase. And the fact that they are being hit so hard by regulation all of a sudden, kind of out of nowhere, is pretty wild. And then when you start diving deeper and seeing that like Gensler had connections to FTX and all of this other stuff, it's like a really bad look for regulation, and it's a really bad look for innovation in the US. So I'm not surprised that Coinbase is suing the SEC. I also wouldn't be surprised if Coinbase announced that they're taking a lot of their operations overseas. And I think that
they already put themselves in a position at least to start that. Didn't they file, where was it?
Yeah, they filed.
Bahamas, Bermuda? I don't remember.
But I mean, like, just think about how this aligns with, you know, the US principle of being, you know, innovation, individualistic, capitalistic. This is not a good look. So I hope that Coinbase kind of takes a stand against the SEC. I know that we all have our own issues with Coinbase. If you're a heavy crypto user and you've been in the industry for a while, then you probably have certain things that you don't like about Coinbase. But one thing that I do like is that they have had a pretty decent stance in terms of, you know, working closely with regulators and not just being like, oh, we fight the regulators, kind of like how some other crypto companies are. Coinbase has been, they followed their paces and they did the right things and they, you know, filed the right files that they needed to do, and they became a publicly traded company. And the fact that they went through all of that scrutiny and then still on the other side have, you know, uncertainty with regulators is wild. You know, despite maybe not liking Coinbase a whole lot, I still would definitely support them, you know, kind of fighting back against the SEC a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's funny that, like, I was just glancing at the article real quick. They're basically filing a lawsuit essentially for the SEC to give them a yes or a no, like in regards to like the regulatory framework and, you know, the Wells notice and stuff like that. It's like, that's great. Tell us what the F. Like,
right.
Yes, no. Like, we can't do anything if you don't give us any direction.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even asking for them to rule in a certain way. They're literally just asking, make a decision. They're not saying we want you to do this or this. It's literally just make a decision. But I think if you watch that hearing with Gary Gensler, you're going to know that that's probably not coming.
I don't know how he got that job to begin with. It's hilarious.
One of my favorite points of that hearing was that one of the people asking the questions was he asked Gensler, have you ever owned any digital assets? And then Gary Gensler goes, well, you know, my bank account is digital and I own those assets. And then, you know, he's like, no, have you owned digital crypto assets? And then, you know, he obviously said something else snarky. And then finally, after like being asked 3 or 4 times, he said, no, I have never owned any Bitcoin, Ethereum, or digital asset of that nature. But then the guy was like, so you haven't owned any digital assets, but you taught a course on digital assets and owning them and using them. And Gary Gensler was like, yeah, basically.
I mean, that sounds like about right.
Hilarious. It was
that
hilarious.
That sounds like, and this is why, you know, and this has been, you know, researched thoroughly many times over the years. And it talks about how all these people in these governmental economic positions of power have, most of them have never even been in real world business. They're
right.
Literally just academics for life. And then they're making all these decisions that impact how business functions in America. And they've never actually even owned a business, built a business, run a business. Like, it's like something like 90%. I forget what the stat was. It's stupid. And I think it was, I'm trying to remember which book it was, but they were just talking about how they weren't even really hating on it. They were just talking about how you need to have a balance, and it's fine to have academia involved, but you also need the opposite. You need the entrepreneur. You need the real world business person. Like, you know, even if it's a, you know, it doesn't even have to be 50-50, but that influence needs to be there. That viewpoint needs to be there. Otherwise, you're essentially getting decisions made through a single lens, which often isn't the most efficient or the best for decision making.
Well, the ironic thing is, like, you know, especially with these academics and stuff, what you're basically saying is they need to be educated and informed. That's the ironic part, is that they've gone through all this proper formal education, but it's like if you went to culinary school, but you just read books about cooking and you've never, you know, touched a stove. I think it should be mandatory that if you are making frameworks about anything, you should have tried whatever you're making a framework about. Or if you're making rules about, you know, stocks, you should have probably bought and sold a stock at some point. It's like pretty obvious that, and kind of stupid that we even have to say that.
Yep. Sometimes the obvious isn't so obvious for some reason.
Yeah. So speaking of things that we talk about that we don't know anything about, it's airdrop season. And there's a lot of airdrops happening. And honestly, I have not been very active on the airdrop front. I never really was. The biggest airdrop I ever got was the Uniswap airdrop. And, you know, kind of tying into what we were just talking about, I was a heavy user of Uniswap in the early days. Because I obviously, as soon as I saw DeFi, I got very obsessed with it. But as far as these other airdrops, I have not been very active on this stuff. And, you know, I have been watching, you know, some of this ZK stuff from afar, but I haven't really been a user of it. So I know that there's a bunch of airdrops and new blockchains and side chains and layer twos that are happening right now, kind of like airdrop, you know, this whole airdrop season before the summer. But I know we were talking pre-show that neither of us are really too active on that front.
No, I always plan on doing it, and I don't like, I planned on, you know, the with Arbitrum, I planned on getting involved in that and I just never got around to it. And I know some people in the Leo Finance community did. I mean, if you're willing to do the research and spend the time, you know, I don't know how this year is looking, but I remember back in like 2021, that's what some people did full time. So all they did was essentially chase airdrops and like literally made like six figures that year.
Yep.
Crazy. So sometimes, yeah, I think about that. I'm like, why am I working harder instead of smarter? I should probably just chase airdrops to supplement my income. I mean, heck.
Yeah, airdrop chaser, like a storm chaser.
Right? You just, as soon as they get them, you sell them. I mean, hell, even if you pick up an extra 10, 20 grand, it's probably worth the time. P.S. Anyone knows any airdrops going on, feel free to drop information in Discord or thread about it, whatever.
Well, you know, one thing I've always wanted on Leo Finance, and this was going back to even when it was just posts, but now that we've got posts and threads, I feel like it should be even easier, is more like Leo Alpha stuff. Like, you know, share the alpha with the community. You know, if you know about an airdrop and you can write like a quick, you know, 10 thread storm about how to get said airdrop, you know, with minimal risk, or maybe outline the risks and, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's what Leo Finance is all about. You know, share the alpha. Share the research that you do, and, you know, get rewarded on Leo, you know, not just in terms of, you know, Leo and Hive upvotes, but actually just in terms of like clout on the platform.
Indeed.
I'd love to see more Leo Alpha initiatives.
Red Storm with the airdrop tag at a minimum. Fine cat the airdrops. Please, sir. when, sir?
He'll pay you $1 million per airdrop.
Yes, apparently. So yeah, the other thing I was looking at was the Visa news. And my first thought was that thread that the dude from Visa put out, we need to get him to put that on Leo Finance. We need the head of Visa threading. So apparently they announced, we have an ambitious crypto product roadmap and just opened a few recs for senior software engineers to help us drive mainstream adoption of public blockchain networks and stablecoin payments. So like they said, public blockchain networks and stablecoin payments. So that sounds like, you know, they're gearing up to accept like Tether, USDC, and obviously work with the Ethereum blockchain at a minimum.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to start working with stable coins and start doing payment processing for it, which I think is pretty obvious. You know, I know a lot of people kind of, you know, tying in with our stuff about Gary Gensler, the SEC and Coinbase, but a lot of, you know, regulatory uncertainty has caused people to wonder if there's really a path to like mainstream crypto adoption in the US. I think, you know, if you're deep in the industry, which I think most of us that are here live are, you know, you probably still firmly believe that this technology is kind of inevitable, kind of like the internet. And, you know, knowing that it's inevitable, like regulation will change, you know, the people in charge will change, you know, hopefully Gary Gensler gets the boot. And then, you know, things like, you know, companies like Visa are still going to try to adopt crypto. I mean, you just have to remember that this is a capitalistic society. These companies are out to make a profit. And, you know, crypto is a huge profit center, a huge potential profit center for a lot of these companies. So I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, these companies are still going to be trying to push towards adopting this tech. Because if it's not Visa, it's going to be, you know, Stripe or, you know, any other company or Square. And it's good to see that the adoption is still kind of happening, although it may be a little bit less noisy now with all this regulatory stuff. But I still, you know, I bet you that a lot of companies, you know, it's not like they went around and shut down their crypto divisions. You know, I bet you anything that they still have them open. They just don't talk about it as publicly as they might have before. But I bet you anything that they're still working on it. I saw Flynn's comment on let's put all transactions on a public ledger so that we can see exactly where you're spending money. I mean, if you really think about it, everything's going digital anyways. You know, cash has been going away for a long time. It's been on its way out, you know, in terms of like physical cash paying for stuff. You know, your bank account is all digital. Most people are, I don't know what the percentage is, but I know that it's growing. The percentage of money that is like consumer money that is spent on goods and services through a credit card or debit card rather than cash has only been increasing. It's all it's not public, but it's all accessible data and digital data to, you know, governments, companies anyways, right? Like if you buy something right now on Amazon, suddenly you see like related ads on Facebook, right? All these companies are sharing data with each other. They're all sharing it. It's when you're buying stuff online, it's all being logged somewhere. So if it's going to be logged anywhere, why not just have it logged on a blockchain? You know, maybe it makes it easier to go through the data, or, you know, maybe it makes the data so easily accessible that it loses its value, right? Because like one thing about democratizing information or data is that when it becomes fully publicly available, it starts to lose its value because now everyone has access to it. You're one of those people that uses cash at a grocery store, no card or anything. The main thing is that data can be more easily sold too. Yeah, but if data can be more easily sold, then it will, like I said, it'll lose its value and not be as, you know, maybe it doesn't even have to be sold at that point. Maybe it's just freely accessible. And then once it's freely accessible, it loses a lot of its value. But yeah, I mean, if you're one of the people that uses cash at a grocery store still, I have a feeling, knowing human nature, that there's still going to be a way for you to privately conduct transactions. You know, I'm not one of those people. I don't really, you know, I don't think it really matters if the government or companies, you know that I bought bananas at the grocery store and then try to sell me, you know, different bananas or something when I go on Facebook. Humans always find a way to do what they want at the end of the day. So I think once the data is as accessible as we're talking about, it loses its value just because, you know, every company starts to advertise, then your mind kind of shuts down to advertisements in general. You know, actually, we were talking pre-show that Mitch didn't even notice that there were Coinzilla ads on the website, probably because his brain has just gotten so used to seeing Coinzilla that he just doesn't really think about it anymore.
I noticed, but I didn't register. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I did see that pop up. I'm like, they weren't there the whole time. I used to see them, I guess, on Legacy Leo Finance, where I still spend a lot of time. And posting the recap, which will be the last time I get to do this, because come next Tuesday, it will be May 2nd, and we will have officially launched. So that'll be interesting, too, because we'll be essentially, about a day, if that, into launch. So I'm sure there'll be all the things to talk about.
All of the things. Hopefully not a lot of bugs, but all.
Live. Well, it'll be the live alpha. AMA won't stand for Ask Me Anything. It'll be alpha me. Alpha me anything.
One question I wanted to hit, because I saw a lot of people asking about it. Bitcoin Flood asks, when Leo ad smart contract go live, is there a plan yet as to how the months before ad revenue will be cashed in quotes? Will it be one large lump sum or spread out evenly? It will be spread out. We've talked about the new ads contract a few times. I think I just, there was a clip that was just posted through at Leo Finance about the ads. And then we've been talking about the last couple of AMAs too. But there's been a lot of updates to the ad program. And like we were just talking about, ads just went live last Friday on the Alpha UI. We have some tweaks to do. It's very imperfect right now. The ads are actually supposed to show like in line with content. So right now it's just showing at the top because there's a bug. But eventually when we fix it, it's going to be like every 6 threads or something, you'll see that ad and it'll kind of be mixed in. We're also working with new ad partners. So we're going to start, you're going to start seeing that that Coinzilla banner actually starts to rotate and have different ad partners. Longer term, there's going to be a section of the UI where, you know, if you want to launch an ad or another company wants to come in and launch an ad, it's going to look like Facebook's marketplace where you can like add an image and then add text and then add a body and set a budget and set a time. So you can be like, I want to spend $10 a day for 30 days and have an ad on Leo, and you'll be able to do that. And then that will go into the smart contract. And then, like I've said, the smart contract handles all of the ad revenue and it buys Leo and then adds it to Leo Power. So it's going to be very cool to see that go live. But yeah, the previous ad revenue has basically just been sitting in that contract.
That's going to be awesome when that goes live. I'll probably have some fun with it, even though I don't know that I have even anything specific that I want to market, but I'll probably still do a little test run just for the fun of it.
Well, see, that's one of the things is like you have clout in the Leo community, right? So everyone can recognize your name. So, you know, you come out with an ebook and you want to market it. You spend $10 a day to market it to the Leo community. Everyone sees, oh, it's Scaredy Cat Guide. I recognize that name. And then they click it.
Got the book.
There's their book. And then they click it, buy, you know, Scaredy Cat's Guide to Knowing What the Heck Bitcoin is. And then now you make money on that. And then maybe you make more than you spend on ads. And now you got a profitable business.
Buy it for your normie friends, because anyone that's on Leo Finance already probably knows everything in this book because it's the newbie guide. So buy it for your normie friends. So when they ask you about crypto, you don't pull your hair out because they actually understand what a blockchain is and what a smart contract is.
Buy it now, live on Amazon.
Right. But yeah, no, it's honestly like if I run an ad for Shits and Giggles, I'll probably literally just promote like the book or something like that, just because you need to have something you're promoting.
Right.
Cool deal. Yeah, looking forward to that. May 1st is Monday. So the big day is less than a week away. And this time next week, I'm sure that's what all the chatter will be about. And yep. I'm sure Cal will probably be looking like he hasn't slept.
Probably looking even worse than I do now.
It's a good thing he's young. yeah, I got to, man, that's going to be interesting. Next week, I'll be on the new UI.
Yeah, you'll have to start playing around with it. I like it so much better.
I mean, I thread from there. I hate threading from the legacy UI. I thread from the new UI. See, you just hit publish and then it brings you to the things. All right. Well, we will see you all next week.
Yep.
The new live UI.
New UI. No more saying when UI. It'll be live.
No more when.